Hello and welcome to Wooden Spoons on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. My name is John Dick, and I'm here with community nutritionist Mary Jane Eason to discuss topics of healthy living, environmental issues, what's going on in our community, as well as interesting things in this one-hour show. On Wooden Spoons, we recognize that all things are related, and with learning and awareness, we connect the dots that make up our world. Every Friday morning on Wooden Spoons, we speak with guests on today's relevant issues, share nutritious recipes, and explore important topics with perspectives not found in mainstream media. Time right now is 8:03 a.m. The weather outside is 14 degrees Celsius. Good morning, Mary Jane.
Good morning, John. It's nice to hear you again.
Yeah, nice to be on, finally.
Yeah, I guess you haven't been on for a little while, eh?
No, I haven't. We took a little hiatus there, but we're back on now, so that's good.
Well, that's wonderful. The reason for all this that's happened here was that I had a bad fall, and I had to have surgery, and I'm in recuperation right now, so I can't go anywhere. But I'm coming along, and I have to say that I'm very happy with the progress, and it is what it is. So anyway, I just want to catch up with a few things and recognize that on Wooden Spoons, we acknowledge that we are located on Treaty 1 territory, the traditional land and waters of the Cree, Ojibwe, Dakota, and Dene people, as well as the birthplace of the Métis Nation and the heart of the Métis homeland. We also acknowledge the Shoal Lake No. 40 First Nation and its territory for a life-giving water. So this morning, I just want to give everyone a rundown about what we're going to be doing this morning. I'm very happy that we're going to be talking to somebody, a guest, Holly Alexandra, who I will be introducing shortly. And then following that, for the second half of our program, I have some information on some herbal remedies in your own yard and some garden information and a recipe. Also, I have some information from the Organic Consumer Association and so on and so forth. So a few things that we will be discussing this morning. So it's been a while since I've been on the radio, and I'm glad to be back. And I'm glad to hear your voice, John, once again.
Yeah, good to hear yours, too.
Yeah, so anyway, we have a guest this morning. Her name is Holly Alexandra, I should say. Are you there, Holly?
Hi, yeah, I was just muted.
Okay. Okay, and then we're all together, that's great. So Holly Alexandra is our guest this morning. She's a graduate from the Community Economic Development Program at Red River College and is educated in sustainability and plant-based nutrition topics. She has a broad range of interests when it comes to food and the environment, and is interested and motivated in new projects, which she proposes, and finding ways of implementing them. Her interest encompasses political and bureaucratic solutions to the food problems and dilemmas which we face. Part of her work involves observing and identifying those problems and bringing them to the political level where they can be addressed. Consulting, advocacy, and marketing go hand in hand, but successful marketing is not that straightforward. So Holly is well known for her business project, Utopia, which she has organized in the Exchange District. And so today we will be talking to Holly about her vision and projects concerning food security throughout the city and ways she is working to bring this about. All her solutions involve environmental sustainability. So welcome to Wooden Spoons, Holly.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Yeah. So, and you're hearing everything clearly over the radio today. You got a good connection. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and I have headphones on. It sounds very clear. There's a bit of background noise, maybe from the radio station. I'm not sure. I hear something.
Yeah, I hear a bit of an echo myself. I'm not sure what that is, but hopefully.
That's okay. Yeah, I can hear you very clear. So, like you mentioned, Utopia, that's something that I've developed when I was done school. I definitely felt like I was done learning at the point that I graduated. However, the program from Red River was connected to UW, and actually I could have done a joint program called Inner and Urban City Studies. But, so here I am today, years later, because I graduated in 2017.
And you went to Red River College to take this program. And anyway, Utopia, which is the name of your business, you described it as a collection of libraries and that you are in charge of the Echo Library collection. So it's a bit of a, it sounds a bit complicated to me. So would you elaborate on your business that involves libraries and getting information out to people?
Yeah, so it's a bit of a symbolism in the name. So Utopia is spelt like the yew tree, and if anyone wants to look up that, it's on the main page of the website. So it's just utopia.ca. And I think it was 1 or 2 years in, I had the opportunity to organize a few different eco libraries. So one of them is Vere Hunt Scott's collection, which is called the Vere Hunt Scott Ecospheric Library and Natural History Archive. And then when the Eco Center all had to disperse their offices, then the Carol Shields Library came under I accepted it as a donation. So the Eco Library, yeah, it's a general term, but there's actually a lot of categories within that that stretch back into even the 60s and some of the very notable 70 movements of where there's like the environmental movements really started accelerating.
And so the library, before there was the collection of, I guess, libraries or groups at Mondragon, and that closed, and so you sort of are filling the role in a way that Mondragon did, aren't you? Would you say that?
I suppose so. Yes, I've heard of Mondragon, and I think I walked in there once because I worked for Skip the Dishes. That's honestly my only interaction with it. I guess they'd had some resources. It wasn't all for sale. So the way that my space that I run, it's different. So it's a reference library. There's nothing we have there that's for sale. And actually, some of the books you can't even take out. It's truly part of the original collection that Vere Hunt Scott had that was meant for education purposes.
Okay. And there's a section of the library that addresses systems change. Do you want to explain that concept?
Yeah, that was one of the most exciting ones. And honestly, I'm the one who created those categories. So once I was pulling the books out of boxes, I formulated the sort of drafts of the genres, or you know what I mean? So systems change came up, which encompasses the books that are talking about solutions that might reference the problem, but are stated in this sort of growth mindset or positive movement and maybe an active voice, or like it was very different the way that some authors present their ideas. And so it's actually one of the biggest categories in there, which fits so perfectly into Utopia and the mission and vision of my business. So literally, we can create this world if we're applying those solutions now and doing the work, every bit of work we can as individuals and in groups to make a change for the future.
Mm-hmm. And the library that we're involved in, with it requires people to sign up for being able to view the material that it contains, and it means making appointments and having special meetings. So it is a different setup. Do you want to comment on the way this is being run and why it is that way?
Yeah, because also because some of the archival material is so special, we have a big, robust Manitoba section that includes some very interesting things, and there's also other stuff like magazines even. Like actually there's some magazines, sorry if I can't specifically say which ones, but when I was pulling them out of boxes, you know, I noted that some of them have the very beginnings. So when a magazine gets started, they're aboard, and there are people that are presenting their minutes in the same way a nonprofit almost functions. And then the first issues were very, very small, different sort of paper. And then all of a sudden you see that it transforms into a real magazine. It's really neat. So those sorts of things are very special, and they would never be taken away from the premises. And then others that I have logged in, it's basically a Google sheet. So that's how the books are all organized, and they have different markings that say this is Vere Hunt Scott section, and this is maybe Holly's personal books that have been added. And then there's even some additional ones than I mentioned that were donated that are about politics and some other topics that, again, just fit in well. So once you go on the website, if anyone is curious about this, there's a library membership, and it starts at $5 a month, and that gets you access to the books and then some special permissions to take them out in the way that a library runs. With those books, you would be able to take out are only a small fraction. Most of them are for education and sort of reference on site.
You're listening to CQW 95.9 FM, and I'm talking to our guest, Holly Alexandra, and my name is Mary Jane Eason on Wooden Spoons. This is a very interesting relationship that you're having with the people that are interested in the readings and so on, and it's getting people. You're drawing people in that are interested in change and in activism, I would imagine. And you did mention the Vere Hunt Library that has a lot of unique references. Do you want to just describe that particular aspect of the library, the Vere Hunt Library, as you called it?
Yeah, because that is where it all kind of began. There was a friend's partner that suggested maybe the library was organized and sparked by me, like doing it per se. So they got a grant. It's an organization that, in his memory, his son is on there, and there's a guy named Alon who's from Winnipeg, and from there we were able to set the categories and finalize that. And I have all of the books logged, you know, like kind of like a library, where there's the publisher, the year, any other information like quality, and then Vere Hunt Scott had some very interesting books that kind of were outliers. There's obviously lots of organic gardening. He was someone who was involved at U of M. He did go to agricultural, like in that faculty, but was more obviously concerned about the corporate agricultural model, and then was able to grow an eco-literacy collection. And that's what is there. So we have food crisis. That's a category, which is pretty dark. But then there's robust, actually vintage biodynamic farming and the permacultural books that people might be looking out for, along with birds and other animals, kind of like sciencey stuff. But he was someone who was very curious and had a lot of interesting things, even stuff that I digitalized. So newspaper articles and other sorts of paper stuff, which we took pictures of and is still part of the collection in a digital format, very much like an archive.
Mm-hmm. So I'm interested in, like, who are the people who are interested in the library material and also the archival material? This is would be a very select group of people that would have those interests. Do you want to comment on that?
Obviously, it gets the eco nonprofits that are operating in Manitoba. So I used to work for the Wilderness Committee, and then there's CPAWS, and then the Eco Network, which is connected to the Green Action Center. Those are the people that were in that Eco Center at Donald and Portage. And when they had to move because of some financial reasons, then they got dispersed. That doesn't mean that we can't collect together once again. So I actually have an email drafted to invite people to have sort of an open house event where they can maybe bring one or two staff members from each of these organizations. But on top of it, like obviously Green Party and more like liberal political stuff. And then really anyone in between, there's youth that I've been proposing it to in the past, that and really when I had it at my old space, in which was a larger location, First Fridays in the Exchange brought in different people just coming out for events, and they I'm actually pleasantly surprised by how many people still are very excited to see books in an organized fashion like that are more relevant and not just a novel, you know what I mean? Like, people do want to be educated. A lot of people do it online, and that's valid, but having a book that you can touch, and like these special books that are kind of locked in time, like I'm saying, this the solid set of seven from 1974, Biodynamic Gardening, is like it's priceless and hard to find.
Going back to 1970, you say?
Yeah. I brought some of them to the garden party, actually. And, a few people looked through.
Yeah. And then when you say that year, it makes me think back to Rachel Carson. I think she might have been writing her book. She had a very famous book about, it just escapes me right now, but... Anyway, she was an environmentalist and exposed the effects of pesticides on the ecosystem and bird populations.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, so this is interesting that there is this interest amongst people to move forward and also to share with each other, I presume, what they have learned. It seems like there is a community aspect to these libraries.
Yes, I guess I did mention as well, any person that has a community garden plot, or even the ones that have more of a structure behind it, like I can't remember what it's called, like the sort of greening folks that do organic gardening in the city, those people also apply, where they can have maybe events at Utopia where there's skill shares, and then also access to the books. These are the types of ideas that I'm moving into presently.
Yeah. So yeah, then it's an education that you won't get anywhere really in formal educational systems. Just thinking of Rachel Carson, you may know about the book Silent Spring. That's the book that I just
Yes, we have that one, and we also have the sequel, I think.
Okay.
I think it's called Beyond Silent Spring, or After something like that. Yes, that is in the systems change category. So it's a great example that it's someone that was that's talking about stuff in a way that is more progressive, and in just the sort of positivity that is essential to actually make change. Like, we can't just going around spreading bad news about the stuff that's bad, and that doesn't mean that people who are positive aren't educated about the bad, but like, if you're letting it bring you down, like, you're not as effective in your work.
That's very true. Mm-hmm. That's very true. And it's positivity is a mindset, and it has to be cultivated, because the world is very it's a mixed bag all around, and we have to make the best of things as best as we can. And then there's also the perspective that is available at the Echo Libraries, which could be described in various ways. So what the term comes to my mind is anarchistic. Anarchistic is not to be taken in a negative way. So I imagine that the people that come to these to get this information and, you know, interest in systems change, that they're very people that are activists and want to make changes and want to go ahead and do it. They don't want to be given permission. They want to take it into their own hands and do things instead of being pigeonholed in certain ways by the system. Mm-hmm. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, for sure. I actually had a book that I borrowed out to someone called The Beautiful Trouble. And it was actually kind of a textbook of sorts that had different case studies and examples of activism. And it went through all these different strategies and had, like, on the side, similar to a textbook, like an example of where that's happened, the year, and kind of described some short notes or, like, point form about how to use it and apply it or where it's best applied. Like, way more beyond, like, you know, we walk around and we do marches and stuff and those sorts of common things. And then you think to yourself, well, maybe that's being less effective. So how can we even, like, bring anarchy to the activism folks and shake them up a bit and think, like, how can we be more creative? And that is meaning, like, using stuff that's catching people's attention, explaining things in different ways so people can hear it and really absorb it, and doing it all in a positive way, which is unequivocally innocent then, if you're talking especially about, like, pollution and stuff, like, that we really can handle by just not polluting. Like, it's very simple. Well, it makes me laugh how simple it is sometimes.
Yes, and that's, you know, that's a good point, because we know we have to have the information, and then we have to act on it, and it shouldn't be seen, you know, it's not a matter of selfishness, it's a matter of being expansive and open to change and wanting to do what is best and cooperating with creation instead of making it difficult, more difficult to keep things in a good way for life on Earth. So, and do you want to just tell us about your website that you have?
Sure. Yeah. So it has, I guess, like, on the main page, there's a way to see what we do, obviously a summary, but there's a page called What We Offer that breaks it off into a few different categories. When I had a big space, there was a movement section that was more, I guess, like, literally within the space, but I still advocate for different types of movement, like, really, again, like you're saying, or innovative, I don't know, anyway, so, like, different stuff that people have never heard of that I really think is very healthy, Feldenkrais, Kundalini yoga, and contact improv, and just different stuff, and there's also farmer's market section and food-related stuff. There's another category that, the reference library, but on top of it, on the website, I have a page that has links to various things, and they're kind of broken off into Winnipeg, Manitoba, and then global in alphabetical order. And that is kind of a treasure trove of my sort of bookmarks and anything that I felt like fell into the utopian categories, which is, like, you know, to sum that up, is like stuff that is going to help people. Anyone who's seeking things that will help them change their, like, and educate them in that way is there. And I always add to it. I actually have about 10 links that I have yet to add. And And yeah, the website's pretty, it will definitely fill in the blanks of whatever we're not talking about here today.
Mm-hmm. And so it sounds like you have a very a very expansive website with a lot of information that would
Yeah, because of my background, I guess, like community economic development means that maybe I'm, and literally your radio show, connecting the dots, or like, so I might be like doing stuff that's helping someone else, and that's kind of just, you know, duplicated, so maybe they have their own website. But I'm going to put on my website as well, because that enhances the visibility. So like, the website is more than me. It's just a representation of what I think we need, which is easier sharing of stuff and just, I guess, an organized model of pooling the information and categorizing it. That's kind of something I love to do. It's kind of one of my nerdy hobbies, to like organize stuff.
Yeah, and it's very helpful too, because once you're organized, it's helpful with what you have to share. So do you want to also describe the experiences people have had getting involved in this type of unconventional learning, which is not at all mainstream? What are the kinds of values that you are sharing? Obviously, there would be a common bond that happens with people that are interested. And that's a special movement in itself.
For sure. Yeah, I have a creator membership model, which gives you access to 10 hours of allotted time. You can book yourself into the calendar. And those kinds of people at that level, they're almost like cooperative, like, or it runs like a co-op at that level. And then I can just read out the motto, which sums up kind of what you're talking about. So hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder, flowing towards sustainable sovereignty, we are open to all the ways of learning and growing upwards with synergistic senses, moving onwards together using sacred solutions. We can create a utopia everywhere, always.
Mm-hmm. That's a play on the word utopia, with a U, and with a Y instead of a U.
Yeah,
that's a nice name. So there is a sort of like a community formed, and people that are willing to move forward with projects that they want to support. And I guess it takes place, does it, that there are still outs from this learning, that people are actually doing things, making changes in society?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, over the course of the 4 years, I guess, I've helped people launch their projects. If it's someone new that really can afford their own space, right? So then they can maybe... Well, again, going back to when I had a bigger space, someone had rented a room, and then in the progression, she eventually got her own storefront. And then other people might be teaching classes, and maybe they'll use my space at the beginning and then find some place that's a higher price per hour because they've been launched in that way. Their capacity was grown, and then they can move on and do it. Just a more neutral space, because Utopia was very mixed use, which meant that it doesn't fall into everyone's maybe specific vision of what their space should look like, but it was something that I was offering at a price that makes it so it's a great starting point.
And I think what would be very helpful for anybody that's interested is to arrange to have a visit at Utopia, right? To see.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
First Friday in July, I am going to be there and open. So First Fridays is an opportunity once a month to come out into the exchange and see lots of beautiful art and studios that open their doors, and I'll be there.
So that's the first Fridays, did you say, in July?
Yeah, July
Yeah. So that'll be great. I'm planning on coming there.
Oh, great. We actually have an event, a dream analysis as well. So during a certain point in the evening, there is an event going on. But between 3 and 10, so 7-hour window, it's absolutely just a drop-in. Please come by. Even if we're doing the dream analysis, it's sort of an open drop-in sort of event. So we welcome anyone.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good. And the dream analysis sounds interesting, too. That's another wonderful. And there's a lot of things going on, and I just want to ask one more thing, Holly, is do you want to describe your credentials and the nutritional freedom course that you took? And you have mentioned it in some of your...
Yeah, I guess writing. I did do plant-based nutrition. It's called From Veg Health online. So that gave me a really good foundation of how to eat whole foods and really, really eliminate a lot of issues for people or for myself. That's kind of why I was learning. But then I started developing a way to share those things, like summarizing, let's say, 11 months of stuff. And then a lot of other supplemental information, like really some stuff that's more maybe herbal related, and also just body science, like aware of how our body can help us more than we think if we get out of its way, like fasting and certain cleanses and detoxing. So actually, it's a course I've created. It's called Nutritional Freedom, and there's part one and part two, which gives you more or less the freedom to feel like you're not reliant on the mainstream healthcare system if something came up. Those things like surgery and other sorts of services they offer is very much valid. But for the most part, we can eliminate symptoms and get ourselves to the point where we're not needing to just go downhill and have drugs and then get sicker and sicker. Nutritional freedom means that we can, without spending lots of money and without feeling overwhelmed with all the misinformation, take our health back and be like thriving humans, not just surviving.
Yeah, that's certainly helpful for people to have guidance in those areas, for sure, because a lot can be said for the harm that drugs can cause and so on, and not, you know, other ways of healing and also ways of nutritional eating, so on. Anyway, well, Holly, thank you so much for sharing all this information with us. It's quite a lot of information to take in, and I think it's a good idea to visit your place and get firsthand understanding of what you're doing and how this.
Yeah, and if anyone wants to email me, please feel free if there's something that comes up. Even if you have a link you want me to add to the website, I can definitely think about and adding that and answer any questions.
So do you want to give your email address?
Sure. It's just Utopia. So YETOPIAWPG@gmail.com.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Holly, and have a great day. And, we're now going to move on and have a song. And I guess I suggested a song for you, John. I don't know if you're okay with it.
Yeah, I got, I think Holly had requested a song called Inhale Exhale by Aurora. I'm going to play that now, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah, I responded back to him. You got it queued up. Aurora just released her new album, and she's someone who from Norway that has beautiful music. It's like, it's activism music, and she has one called The Sea, but this is one of the ones that is talking about pollution.
I was a moving thing before I was a human being. I was the ice before it melts. I was the tree before it fell. My dear, come near. Do you understand what is happening? Crawl beneath the earth to feel the hunger and the thirst. If you could fly and be the bird, then you would see the forest burn. My dear, come near. Do you understand what is happening? Somehow calm within the madness of a storm, with no solution for the scare, tasting pollution in the air. My dear, come near. Do you feel my hand? It is there.
Exhale.
Inhale.
Exhale.
Inhale.
Exhale.
Inhale.
Getting back now, we don't have a whole lot of time left over, but I wanted to talk a little bit about some herbs that grow in our backyard, and so to speak. I was talking to my daughter, she's a naturopath, and she was suggesting, you know, for the healing process, like in my situation, having surgery and hip surgery and so on, that one very good thing to be taking advantage of is dandelions. And we have all kinds of dandelions growing in our yard. And, of course, if your yard isn't sprayed, the dandelions are okay. And so I was collecting all these dandelion leaves and washing them. And then all you have to do is pour the dandelion leaves, put them after they're washed, put them in a pot and pour boiling water over them and let them sit for a long time. And then you get this liquid. And it is quite a bitter-tasting liquid because that's the kind of flavor you get from dandelions. And so I was just looking up some information on dandelions, and it says that it's a longtime favorite of herbalists everywhere. And it's a very hardy plant, even though it is not even native to our country. It came from Europe. Dandelion has surprising value as medicine and food, as medicine and a food. The roots can be gathered in the fall and are excellent, used as a laxative and tonic for the liver and the gallbladder. The flowers and leaves can be used as a tonic to tone up the whole system, especially in the spring. The vitamin and mineral content of dandelion is very high, especially in vitamins A and C, and calcium and magnesium. And in the case of bone healing, magnesium is a very important part of healing, and it goes along with calcium. a good idea to include dandelion greens in your salad as a source of nutrients. And the juice of its stems has been used for warts with good success. And you know the juice from the stems, we're talking about that white liquidy sap that comes from it. You can make an infusion of 1 ounce of dried flowers to 16 ounces of water and drink several glasses daily. This is a tonic for the whole system and has value in treatments of bilious attack, neuralgia, skin problems, digestion, gout, and retention of urine and all, and so on and so forth. So you could add a little honey to sweeten it if you like. So that is dandelion, a common thing. And then the other common thing that my daughter suggested for me and for anybody that's interested would be the nettle. Now, you can pick nettles if they're growing in your own yard. And I do have some nettles growing in my yard. And except that it wasn't looking very healthy because too many plants were crowding it out. But the important thing is to you cut the nettles, but you should not take nettles that are in seed. My daughter, she's a naturopath. She studies herbs and she uses herbs. She said if the nettles are going into seed, it can cause urinary tract inflammation or problems. So you can tell when they go into seed because you can just see the type of structures that are in the nettle. So when you just see leaves, then you can cut it. And so that's what I did. So I cut the leaves, cut the stems, and again rinse them, and then put them in a large pot, and poured boiling water over them and left them for the day. What I got from that was a very dark liquid, so I'm going to investigate that further before I drink it. But just according to my herbal book here about nettles, the juice of the plant will heal the irritation caused by the stinging. Well, that's interesting. Tea made with nettle is helpful to clear the lungs of phlegm and to normalize heavy menstrual flow. Diarrhea is also helped with this tea. Externally, nettle has been credited with conditioning the scalp and helping to stop hair loss. A poultice made of the leaves helps to alleviate rheumatic pain and discomfort. Since the young leaves have lots of iron and potassium, they can be added to a salad as a nutritional bonus. The leaves are also good to stop bleeding externally. Just apply bruised leaves to affected area. So I think if you're using young leaves, I would be careful because they might sting. But I haven't tried this, but this is what the herbal description tells you. So those are just natural things that grow in your own yard and that are something that we can take advantage of. And so I'm certainly going to be doing that with the dandelion, and I'm going to be doing it with the nettle as well. So on that note, I have some more information I wanted to share from the Organic Consumer Association. And I will be also sharing a recipe after that. Apparently, there has been the Environmental Working Group has been testing samples of organic hummus and 6 samples of organic chickpeas, and they found that this health staple that hummus is and the chickpeas made from it can be contaminated with high levels of glyphosate, a weed-killing chemical linked to cancer, according to independent laboratory tests commissioned by the Environmental Working Group. The tests also found glyphosate in other kinds of dried and canned beans, lentils, and even garbanzo flour. Now, this is the interesting thing. Glyphosate is the weed-killing chemical that is used by Monsanto, now Bayer. And glyphosate has contaminated most of our crops. if you're not buying organic food, if you're not buying organic grown vegetables and legumes, you're going to be ingesting glyphosate. This is something we should be concerned about. Health Canada, however, has never been concerned about glyphosate because Monsanto has had a very powerful influence on our government, on Health Canada. And Health Canada is not about our health. It's about corporate health. And we have to get that straight. So I could never, ever understand how we could have been betrayed by our own government. We have never been given any information, and in fact, it has been recognized that information suppression has been caused by Monsanto, which is now sold to Bayer. So they said the environmental working group tests have found shockingly high levels of cancer-linked glyphosate in popular Pepsi company products like Quaker Oats and Sabra hummus. And the website shows pictures of all these types of foods. But Pepsi company continues to allow this dangerous chemical in their food. This is unacceptable. Consumers and parents shouldn't have to worry about cancer-linked pesticides in their food. Hummus and chickpeas, as well as other beans, offer multiple nutritional benefits, and Americans should not stop eating them. Our findings show that the need not only for a ban on all pre-harvest uses of glyphosate, but also for much stricter environmental protection standards and increased testing by the Food and Drug Administration to determine how widely glyphosate contaminates our food. Now, this information is from the Organic Consumer Association, which is from the United States. So glyphosate is the herbicide sold for decades by Monsanto, now Bayer under the brand name Roundup. It is classified by the International Agency for Research on Cancer as a probable human carcinogen, and by the state of California as a chemical known to cause cancer. So this is just some information about what is in our food when it has been tested. And glyphosate is one of those things, and certainly will be in our food because our crops, most of the crops, you know, when I was driving one year back when I was working in St. Laurent for a little bit, doing some cooking there, I was driving back with one of the women that had come to the workshops that were being offered in St. Laurent, and she was pointing out all the fields that were passing, and she said, all these fields have glyphosate on them. They're all chemical farm, based on chemical farming, and that is a tragedy. It really is. And I think people, I mean, what we have to do as much as we can is become aware and try to avoid the food that is contaminated like that. So, and there's another issue of contamination. We have people in scientists in this country, retired scientist Mark Friesen for one, and others that will speak out against what is harmful. And one of them is the 5G installments. 5G has been installed. The 5G meters are being installed everywhere in the city. Now, the city of Winnipeg has decided to install 5G meters on the basis of financial gain. They did not look at any of the studies that have been done on the effects of 5G on plants and insects, especially insects. And there have been studies that were done. Mark Friesen has gone into these studies, but they are very difficult to get to. And there are reasons for that, because the corporate powers that be are not interested in having very many studies done to show the effects of 5G on insects and on trees and plants. But the studies that have been done have indicated that the exoskeletons of insects, they cannot handle heat, and this heat builds up and it kills them. So if you're not seeing any bumblebees this year, and I know I might talk to my daughter in Calgary, she says there are no bumblebees in Calgary either. And of course, we're both thinking of 5G as being the cause of that. Now, we should remember that if we don't have insects, we don't have pollinators, there's no food for birds, and so this is a very dangerous situation. And our own well-being of human beings on this planet is going to be affected. So I am very concerned about that. I have noted recently that there were a few honeybees around, which makes me feel very happy. And a hummingbird moth came into our backyard, last week, which is always a wonderful visitation. And I don't think many people know what a hummingbird moth looks like. They're not easily seen, but they're amazing, amazing moths. And they're looking for flowers to pollinate. So I just wanted to share that information. And talking about these smart meters, there are places that have turned them down, and there's a place in New Mexico that has banned 5G they don't want to have any 5G in their country, in their state. This is a very strong step that's being taken, thanks to hundreds of written comments that continue to come in from far and wide. It says we have a chance to keep smart meters permanently out of New Mexico, to preserve our state as a refuge and an example to the world, and to burst the seeds of life out of their envelope to blow all over the earth and take root. It has been 18 months since the Public Service Company of New Mexico applied to change all its electric meters to smart meters as part of the grid modernization. And two sets of public hearings have been held on March 23rd, 2023, and again on April 2024. And cost-benefit analysis, which did not include cost to human health or the environment, were filed. They were brought forward, and legal briefs on that analysis were filed with the New Mexico Public Regulation Commission in June 2024. So this is good news, and this is a good example, and hopefully there will be other places that will say no to 5G. Otherwise, we are left with the consequences, and here we go. Yes, you've been listening to Wooden Spoons 95.9 FM on CKUW, and my guest today was Holly Alexandra. Co-host was John Dick, and my name is Mary Jane Easton. And I do have a quick recipe, if I may. Is that okay, John? Are we okay with the time?
We have 5 more minutes left.
Okay. So I thought we could have summer ratatouille. Sounds like a good thing to make. You need to have 2 onions chopped and 4 cloves of garlic minced and 1 bay leaf. And you saute that in some olive oil for about 5 minutes. And then you take 1 medium eggplant and you chop that, and 1.5 tablespoons of fresh basil, or you can take 2 teaspoons of dried, and 1 tablespoon of fresh rosemary, or 1 teaspoon dried, and 1.5 teaspoons of salt, and 1 teaspoon of fresh marjoram, chopped or 1/2 teaspoon dried. And then you add that and cook. You add that to your onions and garlic and bay leaf, and then you cook over medium heat, stirring occasionally until the eggplant is soft, about 15 to 20 minutes. And then you take 2 summer squash, chopped, 2 green, orange, or red sweet peppers cut and stripped. Try to get them organic, because peppers do have more pesticide residues than other vegetables. And 2 cups of or 500 ml of tomatoes chopped. Now you add that and simmer it until the peppers and squash are tender for another 10 minutes. And you serve this over pasta or polenta, which is a cornmeal, a cooked cornmeal, sprinkled with chopped fresh parsley, black cloves, or freshly grated Parmesan cheese. So it's a lovely vegetarian dish, and fairly simple to make with vegetables that are now in season or shortly to be. So thank you for listening to Wooden Spoons, and thank you, John, for being there today.
For sure, anytime.
Yeah. So I guess this ends our program.
Yeah. You've been listening to Wooden Spoons, sponsored by Mary Jane's Cooking School on CKUW 95.9 FM. For our podcast, please go to ckuw.ca, type Wooden Spoons into the search bar, and the program will be up in just a few hours. Till next time, this is John Dick and Mary Jane Eason saying bye for now, and thanks for listening.